we'd come up with. A lot of different excuses that you've used already. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm not smart enough, nobody cares. God says, oh no, lay those excuses aside. And that's what today's message is about. It's called, As For Me. Now, you're going to have to pardon me because we all have pet peeves, and this is one of my pet peeves. So you just have to bear with it because I think it has some sort of, I know it has a point in the end, but we'll get there. So just bear with me. Israel has come through the wilderness, and Moses has died, and Joshua is leading them into the promised land, and they go in, and they attack Jericho, and Jericho falls. They attack Ai, and they get beaten back, and they discover that there's been a treachery that's been going on by a guy by the name of Achan, and so they straighten that out, and they take Ai, and things are looking pretty good. And God has said, when they take the land, I want you to go north 100 miles to this place where there are two mountains. There's a mountain called Mount Ebal and a mountain called Mount Gerizim. And so this is the direction right here that's given. And it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it, that you shall place the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. And so we come out in Joshua, or in Deuteronomy. I don't want to go there. And it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it, that you shall place the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Now, what's all that mean? Well, one more slide I think will help in. All Israel, with their elders and their officers and their judges, are to stand on both sides of the ark before the Levitical priest who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord. The stranger as well as the native, half of them stood in front of Mount Gerizim and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given command at first to bless the people of Israel. So you get this picture. You have these two mountains. And they're still there today. Half of the tribes were to stand on one, and the other half were to stand on the other. And then the priest, as well as Joshua, were to read the curses. And the curses, I'll go to the curses. The curses are found in Deuteronomy 27, 15 to 26, and from Deuteronomy 28, 15 to 68. There's a lot of curses. And they read these curses, and they say, if you break the covenant, these curses will come upon you. And each one they read, the people are to say, amen. And they do. And so, here's the curses. If you break the covenant, this curse will come upon you. And the people would say, amen. And so they would hear this on one side of the mountains, on Mount Ebal, were the curses. And then over on Mount Gerizim were the blessings. And they're from Deuteronomy 28. And those are pretty good blessings. And so they have all of these. And so this is a picture that the Israelites get of you either going to get the blessings or the curses, depending on whether you keep the covenant. And God says, see, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today. And the curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I am commanding you today by following other gods which you have not known. And then he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. See, this is giving them a choice. What do you want to do? What do you want to follow? And he gives them a little hint. He said, I want you to choose life. Don't choose death, choose life. And so many times when we come into our world of excuses, we are choosing death and not life. By loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him, for this is your life and length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Now my point, das ist der Punkt, we have choices to make each and every day. When you get up in the morning, you have a choice to make. What am I going to serve today? Am I going to serve myself, or am I going to serve the Lord? Am I going to serve others? What am I going to serve? What is my choice? And I want to take this as an aside, because on Mount Ebal, I get kind of nerdy on this stuff, so bear with me, because this is nerdy stuff, okay? We have an altar. Now, don't forget, Mount Ebal is what? Blessings or curses? Curses. Okay, so that's where they put the altar. And there's directions on the altar. So I shall be on that day which you cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord gives you, that you shall set up for yourselves large stones and coat them with lime and write on them all the words of the law. And when you cross over, so that you may enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord your God, your father, promised to your fathers. And so it shall be, when you cross Jordan, you shall set up on Mount Ebal these stones, as I am commanding you today, and you shall coat them with lime. Moreover, you shall build there an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones, and you shall not wield an iron tool on them. So he's making specific directions here, is that you're to find stones that you don't cut. They have nothing to do with man. And these stones are to be set up, and then they are to whitewash them with lime, and then they are to write on them all the words of the law. Now, you think, okay, well, what's that all mean? Why are they doing that? There's an altar. And then he gives more specific directions. And you shall build the altar of the Lord your God with uncut stones, and you shall offer on it burnt offerings to the Lord your God. And you shall sacrifice peace offerings and eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God. Now, if I'm picking a mountain to be rejoicing on and sacrificing on, I want it to be the other mountain, Mount Gerizim. That's where all the blessings are. Blessings are over there. But he says, no, I want you to rejoice on the mountain with all the cursing and this altar that's been not has anything to do with man-made stones. It has to do with just what God has put there. And thou shalt write on the stones the words of the law very distinctly. Pause. Because now this gets a little bit deeper, a little more complex. You all know that Israel and the Samaritans love one another, right? No, they don't. They're enemies. And there's a reason that they are enemies. They're actually cousins. And the Samaritans believe that only the first five books of the Bible, the Old Testament, the Torah, are the only scriptures ordained by God. The Jews got it all wrong when they added Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and all of the other prophets and the Psalms. It is only those five books. They further believe that the Jews got it wrong when they said that it was going to be in Jerusalem where God would set up his temple. They firmly believed that Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Gerizim, the mountain of blessing. And therefore, according to the Samaritans, it was on Mount Gerizim that Abraham was commanded by God to offer Isaac his son as a sacrifice. And God then causes the sacrifice to be interrupted, explaining that this was the ultimate test of Abraham's obedience, and as a result, all the world will receive a blessing. The Torah mentions the place where God will choose to establish his name in Deuteronomy 12:5, and Judaism takes this to refer to Jerusalem. However, the Samaritan writings speak of the place where God has chosen to establish his name, and Samaritans identify it as Mount Gerizim, making it the focus of their spiritual values. Now, in 400 BC, the Samaritans build a temple on Mount Gerizim, and they begin to worship there. And it's not until the Maccabees, in about 100 years before Christ, that they, in their revolution, they tear it down. Which brings us to this passage in John. And you remember when Jesus meets the Samaritan woman. And it's very simple. She's Samaritan. They're at this well. And she asks him one question. She says, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Your fathers worshipped in this mountain. Or our fathers worshipped in this mountain. This mountain is Mount Gerizim, the mountain of blessings. And you people, you Jews, you people, say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus gives her the answer, and he says, "No, you're wrong. Jerusalem is the place." Now, why do I say all of this? Why do we have to learn all of this history? Why do we have to know all of this? Because what happens at Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, it's very simple. God says, "I'm giving you a choice. What are you going to choose? Are you going to choose life or are you going to choose death?" Oh, I'll do this too. This is one more aside. Mount Ebal, remember that's the mountain of curses. The large stones were coated with lime on which the law was written. These stones were not to be man-made. They were to be what God had placed there. And we're going to get a picture here. It was erected on the mountain of curses and an altar of stones that are natural, no man-made focus to cut them. And burnt offerings and peace offerings were sacrificed, and they were to eat and rejoice before the Lord. It is a picture of a new mount that we will see in the future. we see Calvary. And we see all of the curses there and all of the law there. And it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For as written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. See, this is a picture, hundreds of years before Christ, of this mount where all of the curses are. And there's going to come a redeemer, a burnt offering, a peace offering. And it's going to be made in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds, Romans says, have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. And so we get this great picture of Ebal and Gerizim, the curses and the blessings. Well, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. I get to choose. When I get up in the morning, whether I'm going to be anxious, whether I'm going to be depressed, whether I'm going to be bitter, whether I'm going to be compassionate. And the most well-known of those happens when Joshua is about to go into the promised land, and you shall also say to the people, thus says the Lord God, behold, I set you before the way, life and death. As for me, Joshua, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, now if it is, he says, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether you're going to serve the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in the land you are living. You get a choice. You get a choice to serve. You get a chance to serve those ill feelings. You get a chance to serve your bitterness, your anger, your hostility, your depression, or you can serve the Lord. But as for me, and I think that that's an important phrase, and what prompted this is I was doing a brief study in the book of Psalms, and I ran across so many times where that is an exclamation point that David makes. From Psalm 55, he says, as for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. And I want to emphasize over these next several scriptures that they're all from David, and they are all choices that he says, as for me, I will call. And I don't know whether you've ever been in a search situation or circumstances that you just forget to call. It's too in your face. And you need to step back and say, as for me, I will call and he will save. It's a choice. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity, and you set me in your presence forever. Wouldn't that be great if we would just be able to say, as for me, I'm coming into your presence. You've offered, you've said, I can walk in because I'm cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I can sit in your presence. As for me, I want to come into your presence in the midst of this situation. I want to come in the midst of all these troubles. I want to come in and just be in your presence. As for me, I'll do that. As for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer kept returning to my bosom. As for me, I had compassion. I will execute compassion on others. Well, you don't know what he did to me, lousy bum. Oh, no, exercise. As for me, I will forgive. As for me, I will walk humbly. As for me, I will help my enemy. Ooh, I can't read that. Yeah, it's as for me, I know it's got that in there. I have to read it here. I think it says, and by thy abundant loving kindness, I will enter thy house. At thy holy temple, I will bow in reverence for thee. I will enter your holy temple with reverence. Did you come in today ready to give? Or did you come in today ready to receive? Did you come in with reverence toward our God, the living God who saved us and called us out of darkness? Who's told us, I give you life. Walk in my ways. Learn of me. Follow me. I'm lowly. As for me, I will come into your house, Lord, with reverence, with humility, that I might learn of you. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time. God, in the greatness of your loving kindness, answer me with your saving truth. As for me, I want to hear your truth, Lord. I don't want to have my ears tickled. I don't want to have just good things talk to me that I would feel good. I want truth. Certainly I want to feel good, but I don't want it to be at the expense of compromise. I want it to be truth, Lord. As for me, I'm ready for truth. I want to hear your truth, Lord, because that is what I choose. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness, and I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. Wouldn't you be able to love to say that when you wake up in the morning? As for me, I want to behold your righteousness, Lord. I am satisfied with you, Lord. I'm not going to be satisfied with breakfast. I'm not going to be satisfied with a pay raise. I'm not going to be satisfied with compliments. I'm not going to be satisfied with anything but you. As for me, I will be satisfied with you. And I want to perceive you when I awaken, Lord. Oh, Lord, as for me, I will serve you. But as for me, I will sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning, for you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. Now, I want you to think about that the next time you got troubles coming. Because you're going to have troubles. You know that. You're going to have troubles somewhere along the line. You're going to have troubles today. You're going to have troubles tomorrow. And it's nothing that Jesus didn't promise you. In this world, you shall have troubles. But as for me, I will sing. I will sing of your loving kindness, and I will take refuge in you. That's something I want to choose. Or I could choose to be depressed and angry and, you know, all those death things. Be anxious, upset, jealous. These are the good ones, right? No. No. I will sing joyfully. Now, if any of you have ever heard me sing, you will know that there's a scripture that says, make a loud noise, a joyful noise, and that's sort of me, okay? I just wasn't born with good vocals, or else I had good vocals and ruined them. I don't know. But as for me, I will trust in you, Lord. I will say, you are my God. You know, when David writes all of these things, if you read the entire psalm, he's talking about his enemies after him. He's talking about the wicked prospering. He's talking about evil overcoming good. He's talking about all these disastrous situations that he sees. His friends have turned against him. His enemies gloat over him. And yet, he always comes back to, as for me, I trust in you, Lord. You are my God. Wouldn't that be great? Just to say, yes, as for me. And the only thing that I want you really to leave with here today is the ability to say, as for me. And then you pick one of these psalms. I will trust. I will take refuge. I will sing. I will show compassion. I will serve. As for me. So when Joshua says that, when they're entering the land, he says, you can choose. You can choose the gods of this world. But as for me, I'm choosing the Lord God, the God whom I trust, the God whom I take refuge in, the God whose presence I want to be in. But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. And I like this particular passage because it says, you know, you have hope. As for me, God, you are my hope, and God, I will praise you. Not only will I sing, but I will extol you with my mouth. My lips will praise you for what you have done and for who you are in me. As for me, I will praise and I will hope. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. Isn't that great? As for me, well, the truth of it is, the choices that you make define who you are. Ever think about that? See, I can choose life or I can choose death, and that emanates from me. I can choose hope, I can choose to sing, I can choose praise, but as for me, these are the decisions I make. I'm given other choices. But sometimes when things are going really bad, I make bad choices. But I need to come back to say, as for me, when I come into your house, I come in with reverence. I come in expecting. Romans tells us, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? In other words, if you make a bad choice, you're a slave to that choice. Either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness. See, when we make choices and we make bad choices, we become slaves to those bad choices. But we have the opportunity to repent and say, no, but as for me, I choose. I choose differently. This particular psalm is from Asaph, not David, and I wanted to use it. He says, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. As for me, the nearness of God. The nearness of God. And sometimes we have to say, I'm not going to isolate myself from God. Stay away from me. And say, no, as for me, I want to draw near. I want to come into your presence, and I want to learn of you, and I want to sit at your feet, and I want you to minister to me, and as for me, I am here. Thank you, Lord. And I will speak of your wondrous works as you minister to my needs. Micah. But, he says, as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. But as for me, I will watch. Do we watch expectantly? Do we have expectations? But as for me, I want to watch for you, Lord. I want to watch for you in my life. I want to watch for you in my children's lives. I want to watch for you expectantly because I'm expectant that you will do what you said you would do. You are the God of my salvation. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is the light for me. But as for me, Romans 4 says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Blessed. Blessed is the man. God has said, I've covered your sins and I've given you life and I've given you choices. Choose these things. Let it be a claim that you make from the hill, from the high top mountains, as for me, I will, not your neighbor, not your spouse, not your children, as for me, I make this declaration. And it can be any of these choices that you've been given here this morning, or it can be your own declaration, as for me, I will press on to lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of. That's what Paul says. I press on As for me, I press on. Amen.